Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we are talking about feedback, questions, and answers, and topics that don't fit into our regularly scheduled topics during the week on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. We've been doing a series on developing supernatural goals, and we've also been throwing in some other more timely topics about some questions that have come up, and basically some things going on in the world as well. And so what we're going to do is go ahead and address that first this time. We didn't get to some things. We've been talking about fear and faith. And what happens a lot of times is, and of course you're always free to give me a call at 718-664-6988 if you've got any specific questions about what we're discussing or anything else. This is your time to do questions about any other teachings we've got. Now, it does help to be familiar with this ministry. We're different than a lot of the others in several respects, one of them being basically that what we're looking at accomplishing here is bringing our understanding of God and our relationship God down to something we can participate in and have be able to evaluate objectively. When God says that, you know, God wants to know us and he is a person, so we can assume that he makes a way for us to know him. If that's his desire, to be known, is he makes a way for us to know him. And so we take him at his word that he is revealing himself to us and that there are things that we can do and that he is providing the training and everything we need. He is preparing us. He is giving us exactly what we need to be ready for whatever comes. Now, part of that distinction is that if we know him, if we know God as an individual, as a real person, he can speak for himself. And a lot of times we get into fear because we are drawing our own conclusions about who he is. When we come to our own conclusions about what God is thinking or doing, we are actually judging him. We are using our standards to evaluate what God is doing in our lives, in the world, in general. When we say, okay, God, this is what I believe you are, or you are doing, or what you're thinking, or what you're feeling, and I'm going to base my actions, my decisions, my feelings on that judgment, we're basically leaving him out of it. When we do that, we not only cut him out of our lives, we cut out having access to the life, the freedom, the peace that we probably need right at that moment. We've talked a lot about our mind and our will and our emotions and how they have a life of their own. And left unto their own devices, our mind will come up with its own approach, its own conclusions, its own scenarios about what God is doing in our lives, in general, in the world. You know, this, you know, an earthquake happens in a certain area. It must be judgment or a warning or a sign. This is one of the reasons we are constantly pushing that our first response is to turn to God. God, what is this about? Is this something you want to talk to me about? Lord, does this have meaning beyond what it is, appears to be on the surface? Lord, is this you? I can't imagine anything more respectful and honoring to God than to be asked. You know, think about any relationship. When we assume we know what someone else is thinking, we discount them as a person, regardless of the relationship. Now, over time, what happens is because we learn to hear his voice and we have been changed as far as our dependence. We are no longer depending on our own lives, our own strengths, and that amount of flesh, you know, in an area or hopefully areas has been removed, where our soul, our mind, will, and emotions have become joined to our spirit. And instead of having to go through the motions of, you know, taking that millisecond and go and turning to God, we are already there. He is already directing us. We see the hand signals. We see that, you know, like in directing like an airplane, you know, into the, you know, out to the runway. We just follow his lead without having to ask. But that's because we have learned a new habit to turn to him. Fear often comes, well, first let's distinguish between two kinds of fear. I mean, I'm sure there are many kinds, but basically fear comes from two significant kinds of sources. First, there is a natural, normal response to stress that we call fear. If you're walking across the street, and a truck comes barreling at you, and you have to run, and you have to leap to get out of the way from being hit by that truck, and your heart's pounding, and your adrenaline is flowing through your body. Okay? That's a normal, natural, good kind of fear. You didn't stop and evaluate the situation. You responded. Your body responded and got you your little feet out of the way. Now, we don't want to take that fear and let it ruin our lives. If we put meaning to that, someone's out to get me, or, you know, I must have done something wrong because now the devil's after me. Or I did something right and now the devil's after me. He's trying to take me out. If we don't ask God, God, what was that all about? You know, are you trying to get my attention? Does that have anything to do that I need to pay attention to? And he says, no, it was just, you know, driver, I was more than paying attention. I got you out of the way. And we can just go on about our day. But if we don't ask, our own mind can take a natural, normal fear and use it against us to build flesh, to build greater control in our lives. And experiencing that fear often exposes where we have our trust. It's not about, oh, if I did get hit, I'd be okay. You know, that if I died, I'd go to heaven, or if, you know, I got insurance or whatever. You know, I'm always ready to go type of thing. It's, okay, this is part of life. Fear, natural fear, is part of our existence. So we don't want to read anything into it. Likewise, faith. Everyone believes in something. When next time you're driving, what is separating you from most of us when we go driving? Just think of a nice, you know, drive, you know, to whether it's to work, someplace where you drive all the time. Most of us, you know, get in the car, especially if it's someplace like in the morning where we go every single morning. Maybe you've had this experience. You get to work and you don't even remember getting in the car. And you're getting out of your car because you're almost on autopilot. Your mind is thinking on other things, so you're not even really paying attention, and you get there perfectly fine. It's only if there's a big problem that you're paying attention during that time. Well, what is keeping you from thinking about the only thing that's keeping you from getting hit by another driver going the opposite direction are those lines in the middle of the street that says this is your side of the street and this is the oncoming driver's side of the street. That's the essence of faith, is that you're going to do your part and you have faith, you have belief that the other drivers are going to follow their rules, that we all share a common belief system. So we can have faith in the other drivers. We believe other drivers are going to follow the law just as we do, the rules of the road. They don't always do that. You know, when there's traffic lights that malfunction and they all blink, you know, there's certain laws that are, you know, you're supposed to take turns and treat it as a four-way stop. You know, that kind of happens all the time out where I live, and it's on a highway, and that never happens. People on the main highway, you know, I've hardly ever seen them stop. It's they figure, oh, okay, good, we got a blinking red light, we're going through. Because we're the big highway, and we're going 55 miles an hour. And okay, you let them go because, you know, there's a greater risk. So we all have faith functioning in our lives. We believe others are going to come to life situations with the same set of values and commitment and agreement to the rules. Now, when we come to God with faith, what are we saying? We're saying that we have come to an agreement with God about His part and about our part. What His expectations are of our behavior and what our expectations are of His behavior. The problem is that so often we have formed those ideas of both our expectations and His expectations. We have formed those opinions independent of Him. We have developed those expectations based on what we've learned growing up. Now, we've talked about this many times on Monday nights especially. Where do we get our beliefs? You know, they're reinforced even by songs, even by, you know, what fiction we read. And we don't question what we believe, what we believe to be faith. And yet it is what we believe that can cause us to not be able to really develop that relationship with God. And likewise, with fear, that's one of the things that leaves us vulnerable to the second kind of fear. The first kind being a normal, natural response to stress. You know, another stress that's going on right now in the world is the financial mess. Okay, there's a normal response to that. Now, very often, for most, it started out as fear, you know, anxiety, oh my gosh, what's going on? And then helplessness, and then to anger, to see how stupid this whole thing is. You know, who caused it and how it's being treated is just stupid. And we have very little to say about it. Except you and I, we can go to God. Ask Him, Lord, is there anything else I can do? What is there anything I should be doing at this time? Should I be doing anything differently? Should I be doing anything differently with my finances? To hear so many people making unwise decisions based on fear, lack of information, or the recommendations of somebody else who also doesn't know what they're doing. As soon as I hear anybody say they're an expert in something, I get suspicious. We often use that. That's often used. The term expert in their field, or well-known, or recognized. You know, what does that mean? We want to understand before we make decisions. And in that realm, in what's going on with the finances, that is a natural area. That's part of the natural realm. And we should have a natural understanding that is our area of authority and responsibility, whether we are a Christian or not. The government is not responsible for your money. They're responsible for taking it. But how you spend it, how you earn it, how you protect it, that's your responsibility. And even that they take it, to learn what to do about that is our responsibility. if we have belief systems that take things that cause us fear and cause us to react based on that fear, we are escalating that fear into something that has a life of its own. We've talked so many times about wounds, and we're our Tuesday morning series is completely devoted to getting healed. But wounds are developed by believing a lie. In those areas where we believe a lie about God, about ourselves, about others, that's where we are wounded. And where we are wounded, we are vulnerable. We are vulnerable to the world system, to developing our own flesh, and to the attacks of our enemy, the devil. So we want to go all the way back. We are, of course, learning to battle and overcome our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we're not just going to be satisfied with that. We want to look at the root cause. Why is this happening in our lives? Why is this happening in others' lives? Where we are so prone to making the same bad decisions over and over and over again. What lies are we believing? And that's where recognizing, is your fear realistic, objectively speaking? And we first start with, like everything else, God, is this fear objective? Is this something you're trying to get my attention about? Now, there's also those that no longer respond to God getting our attention, even when it's things out of our control. And they stick their head in the sand and just say, well, you know, everything's fine. You know, God will take care of me. You know, I'm a Christian. God will take care of me. I've told this story before where I was checking out at a little grocery store type of thing, little discount store, and somebody was renting something where you had to fill in your name and your address and your phone number and your driver's license number and your credit card number, and that was something that the clerk was supposed to be able to do. That was supposed to be a private thing, secure thing, because all that information is, you know, written down in plain sight. Well, this person had rented this thing before, so she knew exactly how to do it, and so she just grabbed the book and was doing it. And the clerk saw her do it and let her do it. And I just, you know, mentioned to her, I said, aren't you concerned that you've put all your information out there and someone can now just come along like you did and take? You know, basically they have everything they need to steal your identity. You've given them your credit card number, your phone number, your driver's license number, everything they need to steal your identity. And her response was, well, that's okay. I have faith. God will take care of me. God wouldn't let that happen to me. And I was just so shocked. And she was kind of upset and angry that I would question. You know, I said something along the lines of, well, isn't that something God has left as your responsibility? Isn't that presumptuous? And she's, you know, certainly didn't like that answer and, you know, went about her business and just, you know, that's part of our problem, is those things that are our responsibility, we choose not to accept. And, you know, when I got my wits about me, I was going to, you know, would have liked to have asked her if she thought that Christians, no other Christians, ever got their identity stolen. Or did she just think that all of the Christians that got their identity stolen didn't have enough faith? I would have liked to have asked her. Odds are, I don't even think I'd recognize her if I ever saw her again. But we have the tendency to make those same assumptions. We all do, probably in some area or another, where because God loves us, and He does, we are immune from circumstances. And what we want to learn is where those areas where we have responsibility and authority, we are to exercise that authority and responsibility through depending on God to make the right decisions and learn how to exert our authority and responsibility. As a spirit being, you have authority and responsibility over all realms, spiritual realm, the supernatural realm, and the natural realm. We are in the process of learning to be proactive in each one of those areas, not out of fear of the consequences, not out of trying to control God, not out of misunderstanding. And so, well, you know, it's better for us to react than to not act at all, overreact. When God wants us to be proactive and ready for anything that He asks us to do. For instance, in the case of what's going on right now in the financial markets, you ask God, God, is there anything I need to be doing differently with my finances, with my job? Do I need to be putting more away in savings? Do I need to be, you know, working more to save up some money for a cushion? Do I need to get all my debts paid off? Well, that's something you always need to do. Get out of debt, period. That's regardless of the situation in the world. But you need to be proactive about that. Then you can go, okay, now, Lord, is there, now I'm available because my personal issues are resolved. I can come to God with a clean slate about this issue. Now, you may still feel fear, apprehension, anxiety. Oh, my gosh, what's going on? But we recognize, okay, that's a normal reaction to things going wacky that are out of your control. But we don't draw any conclusions. We wait for information from God. We don't try to conclude until we have all the information. Now, He may say, this doesn't involve you. Take care of this. You know, you were going to do this, finish this up, and then don't do any more here in this area. But now I want you to focus on a whole other area. What's going on in the world in this area isn't going to affect you. And there's nothing else I want you to do. I just don't want you to be distracted by it. So then we are free. We don't feel we have to fix it. We don't have to please God. He's given us our marching orders personally and individually. And we don't need to come up with, we don't need to guess about what we are to do. And that gives us that peace, that confidence, regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of what's going on in our own family, because we know what is expected of us. And we know that what is expected of us is dependence on Him. For life, for information, for understanding, for direction. And because we've experienced it in the past, we know we can count on Him. He comes through. So continue with your homework from last week in the setting supernatural goals, and we'll continue on with that next Saturday at 9 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.